All right. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to my podcast session. This is the next episode, and today I do have another guest, my friend Laurel James, and we're just going to chit-chat a little bit about something interesting. We're going to chit-chat a little bit about dating. So you guys stay tuned and take a listen. Laurel, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. Thank you for coming and being on this episode.
Of course. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, no problem. So everyone, just a little bit of background. Me and Laurel have known each other for a number of years. I want to say since our sons were like 4 years old. So it's been a long time.
Oh my gosh, we are so old.
Right, just about a decade. It sounds crazy when you say a decade, but right. It's been that long. But so today what we're going to be talking about is just dating and kind of just the culture of dating in 2020 in terms of being a millennial and just what it feels like and what it looks like and just kind of seeing where the conversation goes. An interesting point, you know, I'm single, so I've been single for a while, and an interesting point that I've always come across, whether personally or just, you know, just talking with other singles or mingling, is what makes you qualified to date, you know? Should you date if you have particular priorities like your mental health, children, family obligations at school? Is that even a such thing to be qualified to date? It's kind of all these different layers for something so simple.
Right.
But what do you think, Laurel?
Well, that's a lot to unpack. So personally, I don't necessarily think there are or are not specific qualifications to date or just like a blanket list of things that apply to everyone.
Right.
I think it's really based on who you are and where you are in life and what you're looking for, really.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way.
Yeah, because what I would probably think someone is qualified to date me, quote unquote. That's an interesting word in itself, qualified. But you do not feel the same way. Because, you know, I have friends who are happily in relationships with their partners. And some, no offense, but I sometimes look at their mate like, I would never date him. Or I would not, you know. So I guess it's kind of like different strokes for different folks sort of thing.
Right. I feel like that too. I feel like it could be like a case-by-case basis. Like you might, depending on what you've got going on, like some people can't handle it, like the dating life and juggling multiple people or one person. If they got school, if they got a tons of like parental obligations and responsibilities, or if they haven't got their mental health in check, you know, still healing from past situations or traumas from way long ago.
And then
so sometimes
also,
I think there's a fine line.
Absolutely. And then I think your qualifications change as you get older. Like, what would you say you were looking for 10 years ago? And how is that different from what you would want now?
Right. I think for me, it would definitely be like 10 years ago. It was my mindset has always been on someone who's like a great provider.
Right.
Like, I think that's key for me. Just
in what
me
sense?
That,
as far as like paying bills and that sort of thing?
In a sense of like everything, just being a provider in terms of security financially. I mean, obviously, I'd also be helping too. I wouldn't just leave it on the individual. But also just in terms of just playing your role in every aspect. Providing, you know, emotional support for myself, for the children, that financial security and stability for the household.
Right.
Just providing that security and stability as a lover.
Yeah.
A lot of different components that come to that. But, I do kind of feel that, like, with dating, it's a fine line, and it is dependent upon individuals and what they're doing at life in that time.
Right.
I will say, like, when it does come to dating, you know, you should be what you're looking for in a mate. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you shouldn't put expectations on somebody else that you don't even have for yourself or that you can't provide or anything like that.
It's funny that you would say that because I would think maybe years ago, I was kind of looking for someone that was financially better off than me and in a better position. And I always used to think that I was looking for someone who would sort of help me grow and help me develop to the place where I want to be, but they were already there. Just because I didn't necessarily want the burden of having to elevate someone else or to sort of like meet someone where they were and have the stress of the growing pains with them. You know, I mean? Like if someone was just newly enrolled in school and, you know, wasn't sure what their career would be and that stuff, I used to think that I wouldn't be able to go through that with them because it's a lot. Now, I think my priorities have shifted in qualifications, and I think I more so think more about who the person is and the qualities they possess inside more than I do all the other stuff. Because you can have someone that, you know, is a provider in certain ways, but then in other ways they're emotionally unavailable, they're lacking maturity, not able to, you know, handle stressful situations or navigate difficult times. So I would
I always say that too. I always say that too, like real life situations really expose people and how they are, just the habits that you don't get to see. Because I do feel like when you are getting to know someone, you're always getting their best representation of themselves. They're always making sure they're like, you know, it's almost like you're going for an interview, or like for an interview, and you're like, I got to make sure my hair is good, my clothes are good, like I speak well. And so they're not really being their true self, and you don't really get those chances to see their real their habits that may actually annoy you, or that you may not like, or sometimes it's habits that actually hurt you. Yeah. So it does take time. Let's talk about the culture of dating in 2020. I feel like a lot has shifted over time between, like, even from our parents' generation when they were dating and meeting each other and all those kind of things, to what's happening now, even from when we were teenagers and being like from the 80s baby era. To the kids who are dating now, who were born in like the 90s in the early
2000s. I do think the culture of dating, like, has completely shifted altogether in multiple ways. Like, for one, we want instant gratification. Like, I remember when it was like, you know, you would have to meet someone, you would have to exchange phone numbers. It would be like the whole, how long do you wait before you call them? You don't want to call them on like the first day you get their number because then you look too desperate. Right. But then it's like, you can't wait 3 days because then you give them enough time to not like remember you anymore. And you have to go through that, hey, I'm the girl that you met, I had on the white, you know, that kind of deal. So now I think it's like, you could literally meet someone at a space today and within 20 minutes of separating from wherever you met, you're texting each other, you're already making plans, it's already like, so what are you doing right now after this, you know what I mean, like that kind of
exactly
deal.
It's very instant, it is in the moment. And I feel like too, even it kind of goes beyond even exchanging phone numbers now, it's all kind of about like social
of
media.
Course
I've been in situations where if the person is not already on any of my social media and I'm at an event, and you know, it's probably more of a comfort thing too, but you're not exchanging numbers,
you're exchanging,
but you're exchanging
like Instagrams and whatever, right? Absolutely.
And then you just start messaging on the apps and the platforms.
It is a comfort thing, but it's also almost like instant access. Like dating now, it's like you want everything instantly, because now they can scroll back to like a year of your life and, you know, see exactly who you are, what you, now it's like they don't even have to talk to you to find out like what you're doing. And even with now being able to do like live feeds, like they can literally just click on your face now and see exactly what you're doing, like an hour ago.
Exactly.
Now you don't have to take the time to be like, so what's your favorite color? What did you eat for breakfast this morning? It's like, I already
kind
know.
Kind of awkward situation.
Yeah. Awkward, and yes, even now, but also kind of nice, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
Even now, too, like, if they are already on your social media, because, you know, with social media, people just follow people.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily have to know
them.
somehow between the algorithms and hashtags,
right,
and mutual friends, you wind up having just people on your list.
Yeah.
And you don't even know half of them. And sometimes even do that alone, if they're already on your social media, it all it really takes is just like a slide in the inbox of the DM.
Yeah.
And then kind of taking it from there.
Absolutely. And even now with dating today, it's like we also have all these dating apps. So you literally just pick up your phone and swipe left and right. And, you know, you don't even have to, like, meet someone at an event and actually have to engage in any kind of conversation.
Yeah. I have one, and it's interesting because I'm just like, swipe, swipe, swipe. Nope, nope, nope. And then there have been some where, like, we've, I guess, liked each other on the dating app, and we've had conversation. But instantly, it's like, okay, they want to see more about you or know more about you. So then they're automatically asking, what's your Facebook or what's your Instagram?
Yeah.
So then it's like, now we're exchanging Instagrams and all of that, you know, open access.
Have you actually met any of these people?
From the dating app, no. Okay. It's funny enough, it never got to a point past asking, like, social media.
Okay.
So we would chat in the dating app, and then it would be like, oh, what's your Instagram or whatever, and we'd exchange Instagrams and that kind of thing, but then it never kind of got past that because I think we still didn't exchange numbers at that point.
Right.
And that could have been for, like, I know for me, that was, like, a safety precaution. I'm not sure about the other guy. But then at the time, too, now that I'm on your IG, I'm kind of in the mix with everybody else that follows
you. Right.
So now I kind of feel like my message probably won't stand out, or maybe you don't check it as much and you might miss it or overlook it. Very, you know, depending what you've got going on in your social media life. So,
Yeah,
it never did get past that, but I mean, that was okay.
Right.
That was totally fine.
So funny Do you think? Enough, I used to be very, like, anti-dating apps because, you know, I'm of the generation of, like, you have to go out and, like, meet people, you know, and that's, quote-unquote, normal to me. Like, that's the norm.
Right.
And I also like the idea of a guy sort of making an effort, you know, because it although guys are used to rejection, it still sort of takes an effort for you to, like, you know, have to go over and introduce yourself to some girl and whatever.
Right.
But I decided to go on an app after my last relationship ended. This was maybe a year after, and I'd been single for like a year, and I hadn't, you know, found anyone that I liked. And then I was also sort of trying to not date purposely, just sort of like, you know, move but past the breakup. Exactly. Decided to go on an app, got like app crazy. I remember one night I went on two dates in like the same day. Like,
wow,
I was going on probably two dates a week, and I did this for maybe 3 weeks, and I think I like maxed out.
Was it exhausting?
Like, it was like, so exhausting because the thing that I found was a lot of people did not look the same, and it's so weird because I'm like,
that's important.
They didn't, and it wasn't like I could tell that I was clearly wasn't catfished. It was their picture, but maybe it was like a 3-year-old picture, that kind of deal. You know what I mean? Like, things had changed, and I just had a bunch of like not weird, but some weird dates, some okay dates, but just no chemistry. So I done the whole free trial thing, and I'd gotten like something in my inbox to upgrade to the full app. I know they give you like a sort of like a free version, but then you get a fuller version which includes more. So it was the last day of the full version trial thing, and I was like, you know what, I'm deleting it. This hasn't really worked for me. I can say I tried it and it's done.
Right.
And then this guy, you know, messaged me. I guess we matched, and he was like, hey, this is my number. I'm deleting this app.
he was thinking on your wave.
Right. He's like, I'm about to delete this app, but this is my number. Give me a call if you want to. I was like, that was it. That was like the whole message. And I'm like, well, I'm about to delete this app. Okay. Whatever.
Yeah.
So I text him, and a year and a half later, we're still together. So
yeah, it works. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I think he kind of, I think with that, he really cut to the chase.
I think so. And I think,
and I think
yeah.
he was very intentional with it. Like, I like your pictures. Just call me.
Right.
I'm not going to chit-chat back and forth.
And that's what he said, too, after we spoke. He's like, you know, when you start dating on the app, sometimes you get lost in talking to 30 people at once and like
right.
going back and forth for weeks at a time before you actually even like talk to the person on the phone, and it can just be overwhelming. But
I will say that too, it can be like, I mean, I'm not going on dates every single day of every week or anything
yeah.
like that, but it does get a little bit overwhelming in terms of them wanting like my attention and my time,
right?
Whether it's texting, talking on the phone, and just that all mixed in with my daily life. And sometimes, you know, I do tell guys up front, like, listen, I'm interested in you, but there may be a day or two where I'll disappear and you won't hear from me.
Mm.
And it's not just to be rude or anything, but it really is just, you know, I have a lot going on. And so for me, to keep myself for me, I have
yeah.
to carve out that time for myself.
Right.
And
how has the response been to that?
It's funny because a lot of guys will say, okay, they can deal with it.
Yeah.
And then when it happens, it's like I'm getting texts like, where are you? You're MIA. Or like, I'm not hearing from you. Or they've mm-hmm. just kind of, they feel a way about it.
Right.
And then some of them are like, okay, cool. And they're just totally good. And then we just have a flow because they respect like that boundary, or they just understand
yeah.
That boundary that I've created for myself. And it's interesting just to see like how it is. And just overall for me, it makes me really feel like men are so emotional. I didn't
yes.
realize that until like when they can't get what they want, they get really
oh,
emotional.
Of course.
So that was funny to me.
Yeah. So do you find
yeah.
that you prefer this whole, you know, new, well, not new anymore, but this instant way of dating better than, like, having to be out?
I will say that I do, especially
right.
if we are exchanging social media. If I do exchange social media, I do prefer to exchange my IG just because
okay.
that's more about me. I feel like Facebook is the place for, like, family and
right.
like, really close friends and
right.
those kind of things. So if it's someone that I'm just meeting, I don't mind to share the IG. And on my end, I kind of appreciate that, though, just because I get to see a little bit about them. So even
yeah.
if we're not having the time to have a conversation yet, I'm still able to see, like, oh, this is what he's into. These are the things that he likes. I know it's not a complete picture of who he is, but it's like a little snapshot.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, so maybe when we do have a conversation, this is what we can talk about, or
yeah.
see, like, we have differences here. He's interested in this, but I've never heard of this before. Maybe I can start asking some questions about this and learn something new. So I feel like it, either way, it works for me.
And then you also said that you can be super busy.
Yeah.
So, you know, you don't necessarily have the time to constantly go out to meet guys.
Not necessarily,
you know?
Yeah. I mean, so if I do, you know, if we do have a conversation and we make a point to exchange numbers and go out, then, you know, then
yeah.
that happens and it's fine. But it is something where it's like, okay, I have to schedule you in.
Right.
Kind of thing.
Right. So it's nice that you can sort of like be in your bed late at night and sort of be dating, you know? Whereas you don't have to
yeah,
like, like literally, like you don't have to get up and be like, let me get dressed up. I hope I meet someone tonight. Or is there going to be cute
yeah.
guys there? And
right.
I was just like, whatever.
Right.
I'm sitting in my towel on my bed, clipping my toenail.
I mean,
like,
when I do hang out with my friends, like if I do go out to concerts or like a
yeah.
cookout or something like that, it's funny. I always do
oh, nice.
At least one person. I never go with the intention of, like,
yeah.
I'm going to go meet somebody, but it just always kind of works out that way.
You must have better luck than I did.
And then depending on, but depending on the vibe of, like, at that event or whatever it is, then it becomes a point of me deciding, like, okay, do I want to give you my phone number or do
right.
I want to give you my social media? I really go off of a vibe that I get from somebody. Even if, you know, they come into my inbox on Facebook or my DM on Instagram. It's really based off of the energy right. that I can feel.
So do you think like giving them your phone number is just too intimate?
Okay. Sometimes I do, yeah. And I really do, because I do feel I'm the type of person where I don't want to be in everybody's phone. So it to me, it kind of is, it's interesting because that brings me to my next point about, like, exchanging phone numbers. And I don't like to be the one who's in everybody's phone, meaning, like, I don't want the whole world to have my phone number. So I do have not a hard timeline of when I will exchange a phone number with someone if we're messaging on social media first. But it kind of falls into a timeline of a sort, just on my end because of my comfort. And I've had guys who've messaged me, you know, right off the bat and said, oh, can I have your phone number to call you? And it's kind of like, I don't really like giving my number out like that. Let me take some time to get to know you first. A lot of guys are okay with that. Some guys don't like it. And that's just the end of that conversation.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what that is. I think just in terms of safety and just being a female, it is kind of like, you know, I don't want to give out my phone number so quickly.
Girl, I was the opposite. I was giving out my number left, right, center. You get a number. You get a number. You get a number. But the funny thing is a lot of those guys got blocked after like a phone call, or like a lot of guys don't like talking on the phone as much as I don't. I'm not a huge phone person. Like, I have to be really into you to sort of sit and have a verbal conversation, but I am a good texter. So I found myself just blocking a lot of people after like a day's worth of messages, or like even a couple hours. I'm just like, no. And just block. Like, that's it. No warning, block, move on.
Yeah, when I've had instances where it would be the gentleman or the guy would hit me up on Facebook or Instagram in the messages, and we would chat for maybe like, I'll say like two or three conversations, but based off of like the responses, you can kind of get a feel that either this person is not a texter, or they're not on the messaging app too much, so they prefer to exchange phone numbers, and they like to have old-fashioned conversations. And like, so I feel like I can gauge those kind of things. And so when it is that instance, like I do kind of like, okay, you can have my phone number and you can call me kind of thing, or, and take it from there. But for the most part, I always kind of approach them in the situation of us, you know, conversing on a social media app. I always kind of leave it at, we'll message on here until like I actually really get to know you, until we meet up a few times, and depending on how it goes and how the vibe feels, and if I want to give you my number, if I feel safe to give you my number. I mean, I've had instances where guys have had my number and we finally met up and it just didn't work out for whatever reason, and they wound up being a little crazy, and it's like, great, now you have my number. So I just kind of made a vow to myself, like, in those instances, as much as I can control that, like, I'll control that. And so I won't really give out my number so easily or so quickly. But, yeah, if after the first date and the vibe is good and we have a flow and there's, like, a connection, then definitely after that I'll say, all right, you can.
Yeah.
Like, you get some points, and here's the prize.
They've earned it. Okay.
Right.
So then let's say it works out, you exchange numbers, you go on a date. At what point is it like, do you make it exclusive, or do you sort of say at how many dates, and then is it like, where are we going from here, or do you stay on the apps and are you dating other people, and like, how does that work?
Right. So usually, I mean, for myself, to be honest, I date multiple people. I don't date one person at a time. I'm not doing anything crazy like 10 dudes and like all that.
I mean, why not? If you have enough time,
it's something where
24 hours in a day.
But it's just, you know, three of them at max, you know, those kind of things. Because it does require some kind of energy. So I don't want to overwhelm myself either. And I do also want to give each person like a fair shot. you know, and if I'm going to give you a fair shot, I do have to kind of put aside some time and some energy to kind of not focus on you, but to kind of really pay attention and really
get to know them.
Yeah, pay attention to get to know you and get to know the signs of who you are. I think in general with this, you know, the culture of dating in 2020, a lot of people have that approach where they're dating multiple people and not so much exclusive. I feel like the exclusive dating factor is for those who are intentionally looking for a relationship, like, hey, nice to meet you. I'm looking for a relationship. Like, let's do this. And I think the multiple approach is more kind of like, you know, I'm getting to know you and a few other people, and let's just wait and see, and those kind of different things. I mean, I don't think either way is right or wrong. I think it works for whoever. I think they're both great approaches for different reasons. But I think just in 2020, it's just more of a trend to not really be with just one person in a sense when you're dating. It's always kind of expected that it's multiple
people. So would you say that?
And that if it is just exclusive, then you are really looking for, like, yesterday you were trying to be in a relationship and, like, you're trying to do it, you know?
So would you say that most people in 2020 aren't dating with intent? They're just sort of, like, dating multiple people, and if one happens to stick, then so be it.
I do. I really do. In my personal opinion, I feel like that. I'm not saying it's all of it is not intentional, but enough of it is definitely that go with the flow. And sometimes that can cause a little bit of an issue because people are looking for different things. Or sometimes that works for that person, depending what they've got going on in their life. Or some people are just single and they're open to a relationship, or they're open to meeting new people, but they're not actively looking. So they are like, I'm meeting someone, and then if it happens naturally or organically with someone and I just vibe with them and it just grows into a relationship or something like that, I'm not going to stop it. So I think it really depends. But I do think this generation is more willing to go with the flow and not as intentional.
I think the most of the issues come into play when you don't communicate. Because what I might be going with
too.
The flow, dating 20 people, and because we vibe so well, you might be under the impression that it's just you and I because you're not dating anyone else. You know?
Right.
So
yeah,
I think
that's true.
It's a lot
too.
To do
I
with
mean,
communication. But then I also think sometimes what I notice with dating is I was dating multiple people at one time, but I never wanted to tell those people that I was dating so many other people because I didn't want them to automatically write me off as not a potential person, and like, she's not the sort of girl that's taking anything seriously. And because as soon as you tell a guy like, I'm not looking for anything serious, I'm just dating around, they think that means like, oh, we're going to at some point be intimate. And it also means you can be intimate with whoever else you want to, because it's like, I'm just in it for the fun, you know?
Right,
so I think finding the best way to communicate can sometimes be tricky.
Yeah, I think that too. I mean, I get that a lot sometimes, like if I'm meeting people and they're like, you know, they'll ask and I'll let them know. I feel like that piece of information in terms of if you are dating multiple people, it's for me, it's kind of like, I'll tell you if you ask me. But I don't volunteer that information just because I feel like you should approach every dating situation with that mindset that you're not the only one. Because I do think that is a personal piece of information, and you don't have to share it with anyone if you don't want to. So I do think, you know, having that personal information for yourself is okay. If now someone asks, I think it's okay to reveal that. They don't need every detail, but I do think, to be fair, just so they can kind of know where they stand. But I do feel like it should not be asked, and I do feel like you should approach any dating situation as if you are not the only one.
Interesting, okay.
I mean, I've just seen it. Yeah, I mean, I've just seen it where it can feel like you're the only one, you know, with this guy, And then months down the line, it's all of a sudden you find out he's got a girlfriend. And you're like, wow, how did that happen? He was with me a lot.
Yeah.
We spent a lot of time texting or FaceTiming or going out or whatever was going on. And you're just wondering. And I think it's a safe, it's not naive.
So would you be comfortable dating someone?
You may be the only one that's right. A little bit naive.
That's true. Would you be comfortable dating someone if they came to you and they said, hey, you know, I'm in a relationship, I'm in a situation, but the person I'm with primarily knows and understands that I am still dating other people?
No, because to me, I feel like that wouldn't make sense to me. It depends. I mean, it depends if they... what kind of relationship are they in? And then if, you know, personally for me, that's not something that I'm looking to get into.
Okay.
So that doesn't serve me in any kind
so
of way.
So it's okay for your so, the I person mean, for me, to be dating other people, but just not more seriously than they're dating you.
No. So, I mean, if that person is in a real relationship, but they're still dating or like they're in a
yeah.
situation, I don't want to be a part of someone's love triangle. Where it'll turn into moments of they're not sure about anything or, you know, they're
right.
not single. So then what is it? You're always just going to be like a rebound in a sense. So who wants to be a rebound? Now, if they're single and they're dating multiple people, then that's their prerogative. And
but are you ever concerned
that's what it is.
That with them dating multiple people, they might end up leaning towards someone that's not you? And then what if you sort of start being more into them? How does that work?
Yeah, I mean, well, that's going to happen,
okay.
I feel, with dating. There's always, I mean, I've had situations where I was really into somebody and they chose
okay.
someone else. Or I've been in situations where somebody was really into me and I just wasn't
right.
into them like that. Or I kind of chose to deal with somebody else in that way. So
it's all part of dating.
It's all part of dating, but it's also just walking into the situation knowing not to be naive and just knowing that, like, just don't bet
okay.
that you're the only one. I mean, that's the realistic thing because there's so many people out there to choose from. I don't want to sound like you're choosing a bunch of people, but there's so many people out there. There's so many opportunities that it would just be crazy to think that you're the only one. And I feel like when it comes to dating or getting to know someone, until someone actually sits down and says, like, hey, we're exclusive, or I really like you, or they really
yeah.
make it crystal clear that it's really
yeah.
just about you and you just really about them, I think it's, for your own emotions, it's best to operate.
Okay.
And just be in a way that, you know, you're not the only one. Because 9 times out of 10, you're not the only
yeah.
one. And you see it all the time. So I just think that's more of a realistic approach. And
but do you think there's a double
really
standard when it comes
to
not being the only one? Like, is it more acceptable to women that guys are dating a bunch of other women than it is for a man to accept that the girl he's dating may be dating a bunch of other guys?
No,
okay.
I don't think so. I mean, I think if both people are mature, like, I think if both people are mature adults, they both can walk in with that mind frame and know, like, I'm not the only one. Because it boils down to you're not for everybody and everybody's not for you. So you're not going to vibe with everyone and everyone's not going to vibe with you. And that's okay. Like, you have
right.
to be okay with that. So yeah. even if I'm really into someone and they wind up choosing someone else, I've got to be okay with that regardless of how I feel about it, because that's just
right.
how it goes. Everybody is not meant
right.
for you. So if that's the case, then, I mean, what are you going to
yeah.
do about it? That's the case. You can't make someone want to be with you. You can't make someone love you or be in a relationship with you, because then it's
yeah.
not genuine. And then if it's not genuine, then what are you really doing? It's really just, in a sense, like a little bit of a sabotage. So, yeah, I mean, that's how I feel about
okay. That makes sense.
Exclusivity, but... what do you think about sex? Like, when do you think sex should enter the chat in terms of when you're getting to know someone? Like, do you think it should happen in the beginning or later on down the line? I mean,
For me personally, I'm so open. I've been in situations where I'm talking to the person about sex maybe like an hour into us knowing each other. And then I've been in situations where it's been weeks and so many conversations, and it just is like not something that I'm even really discussing. But and then I'm also like naturally just really, really flirty, and I use a lot of innuendos when I speak. So, you know, even if I'm not even into you at all, so for me, there's no like, I think I'm really sexually open, and there's no like inappropriate sort of thing, you know, unless what you're saying is derogatory or offensive.
Yeah, definitely. I agree too. I think it's important to kind of have it up front. It's like a, I feel like it's a fine line between both, because if you say it up front too soon, you might give off the wrong idea of what you're looking for, or someone might take it the wrong way. But then also, that is an important component, and you want to make sure you're compatible with an individual in that way. So it is definitely something that you want to talk about.
Absolutely. And I think, to be honest, if you get to the point where we're going on more than one date, as in at least maybe three, at that point, it's sort of like, you know, there's no holds barred in the conversation, and what could or could not potentially happen. It's all a vibe. For me, I have just had a ton of first dates, so we don't even get there because I've already disqualified you, and that's it. You're blocked. I'm not talking to you again. So if you make it to 2 to 3 dates, it's just like there's no sort of cap on where things can and can't go.
Right. And I also feel like, too, if you've made it to that many dates, then clearly, you know, you're feeling them. You want to get to know more about them, and so it is maybe time to open up those certain conversations when it comes to that. Yeah, I think that's an important component, too. I've, like, from my experience, I've had guys who, from the first message, will start talking about it, and I'm kind of like, I'm turned off by the very first message. But, I'm getting to know you, and then there's, like, a real vibe and an energy connection and a flow, then it's kind of like, okay, because I feel like there's two kinds of sexual conversations you can have. You can have mature ones, and then you can just have ones that are just, you know, just that can be disrespectful or derogatory or just maybe inappropriate. So it kind of depends on, I feel like, who you're talking to and just those kind of
different things. I think it should come up really just naturally and, like, really organically. Yeah. It shouldn't just be like, hey, you want to have sex? You know?
Right, exactly. So, exactly.
When that happens.
So what happens now if the date doesn't go well? You know, say you're done with the date, everyone goes home, and the next morning it's like, do you announce a cutoff?
No.
Like, do you text the individual and say, like, I don't know if we can continue this, or you just leave it and move on with your life?
You know, I never have. I've never purposely text someone and be like, hey, this didn't work for me. You know, it's not going to happen. I just normally block people, and that's it. And then they have nowhere
to contact. Okay, you're a blocker.
But funny enough, this has happened to me twice. But the last time I blocked a guy that I went on one first date with him. And I sort of even knew before the date that it just wasn't going to work. But I was in a phase of just say yes. Go on the date, give it a chance, because I used to have a habit of just immediately just disqualifying people before even, like, getting past the texting. So I decided to give it a chance. We went on the date. He spent a good portion of the date talking about his ex-girlfriend. And, like,
that happened to me once.
I was just like, this guy is a nut. And I'm like, he has no, like, he cannot pick up a single social cue, because I'm just not saying much. I'm nodding my head. I'm looking away. I'm not engaging in all of this conversation about the ex-girlfriend. But he just keeps going and going and going and going. So at the end of the day, he's like, oh, my God, you're so amazing. I had the best time. Like, I can't wait to see you again. We should we had spoken briefly about like working out. He said we should go work out together, blah blah blah. And I'm like, this guy, it's crazy. Like, I'm never talking to you again. Like, yeah, I'm like, as soon as my Uber comes and I get in, like, that's it. So I get in the Uber, I go home, and I just instantly, he's already messaging me, like, on my way home, like, oh my God, I'm still kind of disappointed that you didn't let me give you a ride home. I'm not crazy, you know, and I'm just like, right? With himself and the ex-girlfriend, clearly. But I blocked him. This guy finds me on Facebook. I don't know how. He must have searched everyone with my first name, because I'm like, I'm pretty sure I didn't tell him my last name. Finds me on Facebook, and he messaged me like, hey, I didn't hear from you. Is everything okay? Is your phone broken? I blocked him on Facebook. I didn't respond. This guy tracks me down on WhatsApp and Instagram.
Oh, my goodness.
Insane. So on the WhatsApp, he's like repeatedly texting me. I don't get the WhatsApp notifications. So when I open the WhatsApp, I see like 6 messages from a random person with a face. And I'm like, who is this? I click it and it's this guy. So then I was like, okay, now I'm forced to tell you that I'm just not feeling you, because you clearly don't get the message on Facebook or Instagram or anything else. And then so I kind of broke it down for him. Like, listen, I did not enjoy the date. This is not going to work for me. I don't want to see you anymore. And he was just like, I don't understand. What's wrong? I thought we had a great time. We made plans to work out.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Like, what? So that was like one occasion where it's like he forced me to tell him before I blocked him, because I'm like, this guy's going to find me on LinkedIn if I don't like just tell him like, no. So yeah, normally I'm not the type of person to get into like an exit interview with someone, but
I typically don't. I mean, I know some people who do. Like if I have friends who are seriously dating, like really, really intentionally dating,
yeah,
if they know that the date didn't end well, the next morning they'll just send a text message and say like, hey, I don't think we should continue this. Or if the guy happens, or if the guy happens to message them the next morning, they kind of respond like, I had a great time last night, but you know what? I think we should stop here. And that's
interesting.
I mean, I've had to do that before, where me and this guy went out. We just didn't click. We weren't vibing. And he talked about his ex a lot of the day. And it was just like, all right, you know, I'm not here to like reminisce with you.
This is not a therapy session.
It's not a therapy session, and I don't want to reminisce.
Yeah.
And he wasn't picking up on the cues when I kept taking, like, bathroom breaks. And I'm like, back. You know, like, I was in the bathroom texting my friend, like, girl, come and save me. Insane. And he hit me up the next morning, and I had to tell him, like, you know what, last night, thank you, but no thank you. No.
And how did he respond?
He said okay, and then he would do like a check-in every blue moon.
Oh boy. He's like, let me see if she changed her mind.
Right.
Enough time has passed.
Right. Eventually, he kind of got it, because I just stopped responding altogether.
You had to start blocking people.
Yeah, well, he stopped. So, I mean, there have been times where I had to block people. And there was one experience where I did have to block someone, and then somehow they either through an app or maybe they got an extra cell phone, but they had a different number, and then they called my phone, and it was just like, you know, so that was really mental. That was
awkward.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And so that was that. From that experience, I was like, yeah, I'm not giving out my number. That was another reason why I said I'm not giving out my number anymore.
Yeah.
So that was a little mental. But I do also feel like some people leave it as like, okay, even if we didn't vibe in a romantic sense, they were still a cool person. Like, they were still about cool things. Like, they do cool projects on the side, whether it was like photography or like, you know, something.
And yeah, I've never had that.
I've actually had experiences where like I went on a date with a guy and we didn't vibe in terms of like the romance and you know, it that part of it just wasn't there.
Yeah.
But they were a really cool individual. And so we just wound up like being friends and just, you know, seeing their stuff on social media.
Yeah. And, I've not been that lucky.
Just kind of that. But it's interesting because I don't think anyone can just handle that kind of thing. I think there's got to definitely be a sense of maturity about that.
Oh, absolutely.
So I feel like I think depending on the person that you're dating, engaging how they react to certain things.
Right.
I feel like the response might be different. But I do think a lot with this generation, they do a lot more of like the ghosting or like.
Oh, yeah. I guess I'm a ghoster.
Instant, like cut off.
Yeah, that's
with
me.
With no explanation.
That's definitely me.
Yeah. I mean, I've even done it like just stop talking to someone for no explanation because I feel like I shouldn't owe you an explanation. But
absolutely.
Again.
And sometimes I feel like, how are we even in the same space? Like, how you clearly didn't pay attention to my body language. You didn't pick up any of the cues. You couldn't figure out by the way the conversation was going and my responses how the overall date was going to me, because I'm not one to sugarcoat how I'm feeling in the moment. So I'm not going to pretend like, oh yeah, let's talk some more about your ex. Like, everything about me will say like, I just want to get out of here. But then also, I don't want to be rude because I don't want to leave in some sort of conflict or end up in any sort of weirdo situation with a guy. But you should pick up that I'm clearly not feeling what's happening.
Yeah.
And if you don't, then I'm just like, bye. Like, no explanation.
Yeah. And it's funny, like, I've had guys who kind of, like, dub me initially. And I'm like, oh, okay, fine.
Whatever.
No problem. And then they kind of come back around a couple years later, like, so, what's up?
Oh my gosh, that's weird. That's it.
But
would you talk to someone after they kind of like ghosted you?
No. Okay. I feel like
no matter how much time has passed, it's like, no.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily block them. If that was a situation where they've dubbed me and then like they've kind of resurfaced on their own, like, their own actions, it would just be me kind of like, oh, hey, like an old friend kind of check in and kind of approach it in that situation and just leave it at that. And then if it happened to turn into something more, then maybe that means it was in the cards for us to really be together. But I usually wouldn't put much effort into doing anything.
Reconnecting.
Further.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really wouldn't. But it's no hard feelings. So it's just like, yeah, it's like an old friend. Like, okay, cool. What's up? You know?
Right.
That
makes sense.
Yeah. So I feel like there's a lot of different stages when it does come to dating and getting to know someone. You've got to be exclusive. Then it's like, once you're exclusive, the goal is a relationship. And then once you're in a relationship, the goal is marriage.
Yeah.
How do you feel about titles?
I need it. I need it.
Okay.
I feel like either we are or we aren't, you know, and there's no in between. And I'm very forward about, like, if we're not, then you're free to do whatever you want. I'm free to do whatever I want. There are certain things that you sort of can't even check me about, you know, and there are certain things in my life where I don't need to share it with you. And there's just a lot more boundaries.
Yeah.
And I find a lot of guys in my life, funny enough, I find with all, most, if not all of my past relationships, I've always been that girl. I've always come across as like, we are or we aren't. So it sort of puts a little bit of pressure on guys to be like, all right, we are, just to sort of like secure me and make sure that it's like, you know, the other guy I'm talking to, I'm not going to give him the same spiel and then cut you off. So I sort of feel like they feel pressured to like immediately start a relationship.
Which
is not necessarily the best thing, but you know, it just is my personality. And I sort of try to be the person who I say I'm a serial monogamist. Like, I try to be the person that's going to be like, I'm going to date casually, but titles are actually important to me. And then if I'm feeling you and I like you, I feel like we need to take it a step further, because then this is just sort of a waste of time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not looking for a friend to have sex with on occasion.
I think like for me personally, I'm not big on titles, just because I feel like it adds like an extra pressure.
It does.
Or an extra, yeah.
Yeah.
Or like an extra expectation. And sometimes absolutely. I feel like those, that extraness, the extra pressure, the extra expectation can cause an extra stress. And it might
yeah.
break something that's not broken. You know what I right. mean? Like, so I'm not big on titles. I really go off of how it feels.
Yeah.
And
so would you be okay dating? Right. Would you be okay yeah. dating someone for, let's say, 6 months to a year and never have that title?
Yeah. I mean, okay. I was in a situation where I was dealing with someone for a long time. And, I mean, just so it's clear, I've been single since 2014.
Okay.
So people kind of understand.
Yeah.
But, and now we're in 2020. So it's been a number of years that I've been single, and I was in a situation where I was dealing with someone for quite a long time. We'll just say a year.
Okay.
To give it a number. But it was something where we just understood how we felt about one another.
Yeah.
And we just understood each other's space, boundaries, the respect.
Would you say it was exclusive?
Very interesting. I would say it felt exclusive.
Okay.
I never really dug deep to find out if he was talking to anyone else.
Yeah.
But it felt exclusive. And honestly, with me, if I am talking to someone else, or if I'm getting to know someone, or I'm dating someone or whatever, my mind is not even if they're talking to anyone else. I mean, I know that it very well could be true, but my mind is always, how are they with me? And that's what I really am focused on when I'm with them. So with this particular individual, it was how he was with me,
yeah,
and just how it felt. And it felt good, and it felt great, and we flowed, and everything worked, and we vibed.
Yeah.
And everything was just like, it was amazing.
So did that person make you feel like you didn't need to sort of keep dating other people?
In a sense, they did.
Okay.
But at the end of the day, it was like, that little voice, like, don't be naive. You know what I mean? So it was still like, okay, I'm open to meeting other people. But this particular person, I am very loyal.
Mm-hmm.
So they did have my loyalty. I did feel like I had their loyalty too.
Right.
And I mean, it was funny, not funny, but it was interesting because we did not have titles on what we had. But at the end of the day, we were having certain conversations with each other at certain points. So with both of us feeling like, okay, this feels good, like we've got a good flow going, like great energy exchange, like everything was just, it just worked for us. Like it really just worked for us.
Yeah.
We wound up having conversations with each other, really just open and honest conversations with each other of, you know, are you talking to someone else? And asking me, am I talking to someone else? And vice versa. And just having those, like that open dialogue mm-hmm. about those things. And then kind of like after establishing that, then it was like, okay. And then we're hanging out more. You know what I mean?
It so if really the conversation like, was, if he did say like, yeah, I am talking to other people, do you think that would have changed the dynamic?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Like there was a point that at one point between our, you know, our time together, it was that he was talking to other people.
Yeah.
And it didn't really change how I felt about anything, just because at the end of the day, I kind of was too. I mean, I technically wasn't, but yeah. if I wanted to, I could have.
Right.
And, but it was just focused on when I'm with him, this is how I feel, and this is how I make him feel, and this is how he makes me feel.
Right.
It was just always an even exchange. So I feel like another person, when we were together, in my mind anyway, it never entered the picture. Yeah, so, I mean, we never put a title on it, and we just had certain conversations with each other. And then
right.
there was a point where we had conversations with each other, and I would ask him, like, so are you talking to someone else, or what's happening? And he was like, no, not really. I'm just, you know, it's just really all about you, or I'm just focused on what we're doing.
Yeah.
But, again, we didn't put a title on it, and it was just a conversation that we had. I don't want to call it, like, a check-in.
Yeah.
But it was just a conversation that we had, a mature conversation, where we kind of both just put everything on the table so that way nobody would feel like they're being blindsided
yeah.
or anything. So So I'm not into titles, just for the reason of the expectations associated with it. Because instantly, if me and you have a good thing going and we're vibing, and then I'm like, hey, you're my boyfriend, or he's like, hey, I'm your girlfriend, it's like, oh God, now I got to do this. Oh God, now I got to do that. Or, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's all about what works for you. Because to be honest, I kind of like the, hey, God, I got to do that. Like, I want them to feel a certain amount of responsibility to me. I don't know if that sounds terrible, but it's literally how I feel. Like, I want them to feel a certain sense of responsibility towards me, and almost a certain sense of, like, you know, a foundation. Like, this is where it ends at the end of the day.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So, that's
very hard. Yeah, it's hard to say. I personally just don't like the title thing.
Yeah.
I think when I've experienced someone for a certain amount of time, I do feel like maybe titles are not needed because certain things between us are just understood.
Right.
I do feel like titles are sort of like a comfort when it comes to, I guess, just people.
Yeah, absolutely. And absolutely. Your absolutely.
But I do.
It's definitely a comfort, and it's definitely more so a security.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I feel like we can have certain conversations and things could be understood, but I feel like until it's, like, made official, quote-unquote, it's not concrete.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, and that's true, too. Like, if it's not concrete...
Because you can sort of say, I'm only dating you, you're only dating me, but then... You also have the prerogative to change your mind about that in a month.
Right, true.
So, for me, the title is a sense of security. Like, this is what it is. This is not where we are in the moment, but this is how it's going to be for however long going forward.
So, so it is like a sense of security.
It is, for sure.
For you and, No, for I understand that, too. Totally. Let's see.
So is the goal, you would say, when dating to be exclusive, and then after exclusivity, is it marriage for you? Is that how you see that, you know, playing out?
Personally, for myself, I would say the goal for me right now is to find someone who is, how do I put this? Is very deep for me, but someone who is not going to stress me. So if anyone knows me personally, they know that my life is, like, hectic. I'm busy. I've got kids. I've got work full time and, you know, my own side project that I'm doing. Mm-hmm. I've got family and I've got friends and I'm close with everyone. So it's very, like, my life, personal life is very busy. And
so
I feel like
it sounds a little bit like you're not very flexible when it comes to, like, incorporating someone else's life into your own.
No,
do you sort of want, like, a parallel situation? Like,
not really. I will say, though, just to answer the first question, that when I do deal with anyone, I want them to be someone, not that fits in, but someone that is not going to be, like, a hindrance or too much extra stress. So when I deal with anyone, that is me sharing my personal time for myself, where I'm not a mom.
So you sort of want them to just fit in where they can in your life. You don't really necessarily want to change anything about your life to kind of fit the situation with them.
No, there can be changes, but what I'm saying is when I deal with anyone, that's on my free time. So that's when I'm not being a mom. That's not when I'm working. That's not when I'm not being, like, a cousin and I'm not being, like, working on my side projects. Like, that's literally the time for me, and then that's what I'm sharing with that individual. So I do feel like if I'm going to share that with you, you've got to be, like, my peace in a sense.
Okay.
I don't want you to be in my space, or I don't want to share my time with you, and then it's a bunch of, like, stresses.
Of course,
Or little annoyances or things like that. And I've had situations where I've shared my me time with individuals, and not to say they got in where they fit in, but they were a positive, and we were. You know what I mean? And I've had situations where I've shared my me time with an individual, and it was just nothing but, like, a lot of back and forth, a lot of disagreements. And
yeah.
It's like, oh my God, this is a complete waste of my time. So I know that what I'm asking for is not anything unattainable. You understand what I'm saying?
Of course. But do you think that someone becomes more of a priority in your life, though, the longer you guys are together? Like, do they sort of have to prove that they're worth?
I do feel like they do become my priority when they're not, I don't want to say causing me any annoyances,
okay.
but when they're not causing me annoyances. So if I share my personal time with them and it's good,
okay.
then I will make time in my really busy life when I'm wearing all of my hats for them.
Okay.
If you're going to cause me an annoyance, I'm not reshifting anything else for that person.
Right.
And it's just kind of like, now it's just like, if I have the time, you know
what
I mean?
Right.
So kind of going back to your point about me not making changes, that's what I mean about that in terms of like shifting.
Okay.
So it really depends on how they are when I share my personal time with them and if they're a positive in that space. And then it kind of like, okay, let me see where I can fit you in when I'm wearing multiple hats, doing multiple other things.
Right. So would you say that the goal is marriage?
The goal is marriage, yeah.
Okay.
Definitely. Like, I'm not actively out there, like, I'm going on for a boyfriend and I'm looking to get married or things of that nature right now. But my stance is more of these things will happen naturally.
Yeah.
And so if I am vibing with someone, essentially, if we have a really good connection and a number of years have gone on, or just a number of time have gone on, like whether it's months or a year or two,
mm-hmm.
or what have you, marriage definitely will be the goal.
Okay.
Because at some point it's like, okay, what's the next goal?
Right.
Or, you know, so marriage definitely will be the goal. I mean, what about you? Being that you're in a relationship, do you feel like, I mean, I'm guessing marriage is your goal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. I do feel like marriage is the goal. And I feel like I could have been married multiple times over. And I'm glad that I never was, because, you know, the place I am now, 30 plus, it's definitely different. And how I see marriage and how I see life partnership is completely different. But marriage is definitely the goal, for sure. And for me, it's like, I guess I'm old fashioned or traditional in the sense of, for me, it's like meet, date, exclusivity, title, marriage.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That, you know, and it sort of just always falls in that order. And so I'm very vocal and very upfront about like, okay, we've dated, what's next? Okay, we're exclusive, we've got the title, what's, you know?
Yeah. You always just want to, you like, I can picture you there like, okay, come on, what's next, what's next?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like literally in those words, like, okay, so what's up? I feel like my last relationship, it literally went like, okay, so we've been messing around for a while, summer's over, so what's going on? And it was like, wait, are you serious? Like, yeah, because you know, it's cuddling season coming up, so if we're not going to be exclusive and this is not a title, then I could just check you off the, you know, the Cuddle Buddy application.
Right.
And that's literally how we ended up together. So it's like, that's how it works in my world.
Yeah.
You know.
No, I get it, too. I think that, too, is I think with this generation, we're kind of, like, more lax when it comes to those things.
Yeah.
And then some of us are more, like, really honed in on, like, this is really
what it is. I think,
and I really want to know what's next. And,
right. I think for some people, with guys mostly, they get really comfortable in any situation that they're put in. And so they can sort of drag their feet. And so I think a lot of guys don't necessarily propose or see marriage immediately or within 2-3 years, because it's almost like everything is good. What is the rush? And, you know, they could date you for 10 years before they finally decide, like, let's get married.
Right.
You know,
marry you. Yeah.
But at the same time, no woman wants to pressure a man into something that he doesn't necessarily see himself doing. But I think it's important to communicate, like, this is what I said from the beginning. You've always known this is my goal. and you all, and you know, if, you know, you're not feeling the same way and we're not going in the same direction, then leave sooner than later.
Right. Oh yeah. I totally agree with that too.
Like, let's not drag this out for 7 years if you know that you've never thought about marriage ultimately, or it's just not something you see yourself doing.
Right. I think for me too, one of the things is because I was in a really long relationship before, and I've had, you know, certain situations over the years that I have been single or whatever. Marriage definitely is an end goal for me, but part of my thinking too is like, you never really know someone, you know? And so for me, it kind of has me a little bit on the fence about marriage, because it's like, you just don't know.
Well, we all are living through our past traumas.
People always change. Yeah. Right. Yeah, people can always change too. So it's kind of like, I probably shouldn't look at it that way. But sometimes I do find myself a little skeptical about marriage, just because of that. And it's funny because even though I want marriage in the future, I don't really see it for myself. Wow. And I don't know why, which is really interesting. And not saying it in like in a negative way, pity for me, because don't. But it's just in a way of like, when I just envision my future, that's not something I see. What I see is more just like, you know, just, I don't know. I don't see marriage though, but I see a bunch of other successes.
Right.
And I don't know if that's putting anything on my life, but that's interesting to me that like, I do want it, but I also don't see it. So it's interesting, but so do you think then when it comes to marriage, now that we're talking about marriage, I know in other cultures it's very intense where they skip almost the whole relationship phase and they go from like dating to like an engagement into marriage.
Right.
It's very cultural, and I know they do that in African,
like an arranged marriage kind of deal.
African countries, Indian countries, they do that. Definitely, you know, the Jewish demographic does it. Do you think that kind of, like, what do you think about that? Do you think that kind of holds some sort of does that hold marriage in a high regard?
Or absolutely. I think absolutely it does, because I think, you know, young people, when they reach a certain age, they start thinking about marriage in the same way we in like Western, the Western world think about careers. You know, when you graduate high school, you're like, okay, I want to go to college. When you're in college, the intent is, I need to figure out now what I will do for the rest of my life. And that may seem unrealistic to ask someone at 18, 19, like, what are you going to pick right now that it's going to work for you for the rest of your life? But if we can put something like that on an 18, 19, 21-year-old kid, why are they also not able to necessarily pick a life partner, you know?
That's
traditionally,
a good perspective on that.
Like historically speaking, arranged marriages work more often than they fail. There's always
that's the interesting piece.
Chances, right. Those people stay married forever. And there's always the off chance that things don't work out. But from a statistical point of view, they work more times than they don't. And I think the reason why is because the same way you work at your career or your job, or when you leave college, you're like, you understand it's going to be entry level. You understand there's going to be some struggle. If you're becoming a doctor, there's going to be a residency that you have to do. And there's going to be a whole bunch of state tests and this and licensing and all of this stuff. They're going to be 24-hour shifts. You get that. It's the same way they regard marriage as, hey, in the beginning, we're getting to know each other and we may not hit it off right away. It might be a struggle. She might be really annoying, or he might be really whatever. But they understand that this is still the goal and we're going to work it out regardless. They don't see it as, man, I didn't like her. I didn't really like him. She's not the cutest. Right. We got to separate. It's like, whatever those issues are, you understand that you need to work them out in order to be successful, as you do in anything in life. But I think, you know, since we're in the West, we don't necessarily have those same ideas, and we don't hold marriage in that same regard. So and it's the same with relationships. When things aren't going well, we're always like, well, we could just separate. Well, I don't really like you. And then there's the fear of, why should I be with this person and marry them if, like you said, they could change or it could not work out or something could go wrong? We don't, both parties aren't going into it with the mindset of, we're gonna make it work no matter what.
Yeah.
If I have to change a little bit, if he has to give, like, whatever needs to happen, this is my situation and I have to be successful at it. We don't have those kind of ideals.
I think one of the important parts of it too, though, when it comes to arranged marriages, is that it's not only about the two people who are getting married. They also involve the entire family.
Exactly.
And some people might be like, oh my God, that's annoying. I don't want all the people in my business.
Right.
But if you think about it, just the thought process behind it, you're merging families.
Right.
So why wouldn't you see that those would be included in that process and that everyone can get along?
Right.
And essentially, if, you know, you guys build a family business or a family continue
absolutely.
A family legacy, you got to make sure that the whole family is on one accord.
Absolutely.
So when it does come to arranged marriages, I do definitely see that there are some positives about it.
It is very much the bringing together of two families and not just the individuals.
Yes. And there are definitely some positives about that when it comes to arranged marriages and the other family members' involvement.
Right. Everyone is invested in this relationship, not just you and the guy. Like, everyone is invested. And that's more incentive to make things work, honestly. It's more pressure, but it's also more incentive to, like, my mom is involved and my dad and my cousin. Like, we're not just going to walk away from this, you know?
Right. Yeah, I agree, too. And I know, I've had some experiences where I was getting to know, some people who are not from the United States. So one guy was from Morocco, on a different occasion, it was someone from Ghana on a different occasion. It was someone from Turkey, you know, and they're all different countries.
Sounds like 90 Day Fiancé, but okay.
Right. They're all different countries. But I think just me being an American, but then me being a female and a Black American too, one of the overall things I've noticed is that not only are they dating with the intent of a relationship, they're dating with the intent of marriage.
Yeah.
But literally the whole family's involved.
Yeah.
And it's funny because, like, we would be talking for maybe, like, I'd say 3 or 4 days, and all of a sudden, they're like, yeah, I told my mom about you. And I'm like, what? You know, like, why? Yeah. I'm, like, freaking out, like, it's too soon, or, you know.
My sister says hello. You're like, wait, what?
Right. Or it's just like, oh, you know, they want to share with me pictures of their great-grandparents.
Yeah.
Like, family heirloom kind of things. And I'm like, wow. It was nice
too
to do these things.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it was still kind of like, can we slow down? Like, I didn't want to see all that. Like, I didn't ask to see all that. But I did notice, like, there is a difference in how other countries approach this whole romance situation.
Absolutely. Especially from a physical standpoint, too. So it's definitely very cultural. I think when you come from a culture that is heavily based around religion, there's a lot of motivation to hurry up and move things along as well, because it's like, you can't be intimate.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a lot of times, even when you're going on a date, you may have a chaperone just to make sure you don't sneak off and be intimate. You know what I mean?
Right.
And
right.
That's a little antiquated with the whole, like, wanting women to keep their virtue thing. But it sort of is like, we have to move this along. We're not going to, you know, hold hands across a dining room table for 6 years.
But I do think, I really do think that, you know, in terms of looking at other cultures, when they have their family involved in the dating and the engagement and that whole marriage piece, I do really think that it really eliminates the factor of individuals playing mind games with each other.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
I think it really does that. And
of course, because they know from the first date that if this goes well, this could be your potential life partner, you know?
Yeah. So it's interesting, though.
So you never have to wonder, like, oh, does he like me or does he like the other girl?
Yeah, you really like... don't, because they're literally telling you, like, on day 4 or 5, like, okay, this is my mom and my dad.
Right.
So, and, you know,
right.
kind of a bit much.
Right.
But
yeah.
How do you feel about, you know, posting your significant other on social media?
I enjoy that. Again, it's one of those things to me, and this may seem sort of frivolous and sort of like baseless, but for me, it's another one of those security things. Although, mm-hmm. if you really think about it, you could have a whole double life. You could have multiple social medias, all of that. But let's say all of like the weird, creepy things aside, I sort of enjoy the fact that you want to publicly share me with everyone else, because it's almost as though, like, social media has become such a huge part in the way we communicate, the way we express our views of the world, the way we mm-hmm. stay in touch with people, you know, how we shop, where we eat. It's just so prevalent in your everyday life that it's just like, why would I be the one thing that you don't necessarily, you know, share?
Right.
Because, like, let's be honest, we share our breakfast. We share our children. Mm-hmm. We share our birthdays or our anniversaries. I mean, I've seen people post people on their deathbeds. Like, you know, as horrible as that is.
Too.
So it's like, we overshare so much that I think for me, it almost seems intentional and purposeful if you don't share me, especially if we spend so much time together.
Then it
makes me worried. I'm like, why are you just hiding me?
I agree. I feel like if for me, I'm very controlled in what I put on my social media, so I try not to put everything on there,
right?
For the most part, I don't think that I do, and I do feel like if there is a chance, you know, if there's a time that I do have a boyfriend, I always say, like, he'll probably get, like, one world premiere where we will just one post and be like, hey, that's my man, y'all.
Yeah.
And that's that. And I won't tag him. But I also do feel like, too, people, they don't need to know everything, but they do need to know you're in a relationship, because – like you said, like, if you can post everything else, why can't you post this? And I do kind of see it as a little bit as a sign of respect. Like, okay, if you can post your breakfast, then
your dog is on there. Like, what?
Right. Like, you can post me.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
One thing? Like, you've got your entire apartment, your dog, your mother's birthday, but not, like,
Right. And some people don't do it because they have, like, the whole privacy thing, which I get too. But I think if you have a good balance, it works. But I think if you overshare some other stuff and not enough of your significant other, then it can feel like, you know, a slap in the face to your significant
Absolutely.
Other.
Absolutely.
I think if there's a balance.
The other day go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say that, just having the balance, really, is something that.
Yeah, I was gonna say about. There's a difference between being private and being secretive to me.
Right. Yeah.
So I feel like I don't ever want to feel like you're being secretive, and I've heard people use the excuse like, I'm trying to protect our relationship and blah blah blah. But I'm just like, whatever. Like, post to the level that you post. If I know that you're the type of person to post once in a blue, like, you don't really post often, I don't really expect you to be, you know, posting me up regularly. But if you are an every single day consistent poster, and it just so happens, like, I am the one subject that you never post, that's weird. And I don't feel like your, you know, social media needs to be flooded with pictures of me. But even, like I said, if you do Insta stories, for instance, and I happen to be there, like, don't purposely try to sort of, like, go around posting me, because the conversation about secret versus privacy came about because A few of my friends and I know someone who is currently engaged, and they, no one knows. And they'll do things like they'll be somewhere with their fiance on a date, but post selfies on that date. And I'm just, to me, that stuff comes off like disingenuous. And then it makes me wonder, right, like, you know, what kind of person is this? Because I can't imagine that you go on a spa date and you're just taking pictures of yourself at a spa
the whole time.
Yeah. So to me, you know, the post is important. It doesn't have to be frequent, and it doesn't have to be a billion pictures, but the acknowledgement is important to me. And that's
Yeah, I was going to say that too. The acknowledgement definitely matters.
Right.
Yeah, I think if I, you know, if I ever get a boyfriend. Yes, when. It's really slim pickings. I'm finding it very challenging to find someone who can vibe with me the way that I like to.
Yeah.
To be honest. And I, it's quite.
I mean, the dating pool is pretty small, especially in New York. I think here in New York, and maybe even Brooklyn specifically, I read a statistic where it was like 9 men to every woman. And this is as far as like the ages between, I think, 18 to 34 who not incarcerated and not married legally, you know.
Right.
So it's like eight. 8 or 9 to 1. So the dating pool is extremely slim.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely is. And, you know, I sometimes can be on a different vibe from other people.
Right.
So finding someone who really is that is...
It a needle in the haystack. But
there was only one experience, one guy that I really connected with that way in New York. I'll say narrow it down in New York.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I think he was trying, he was really honest, which I appreciated. He was trying to close out or wrap up or sort out, I should say, another romantic situation like prior.
Yeah.
So it was with that situation, I guess they were in a gray area, and I guess he wanted to know what he was going to do with that before engaging anything with me. And I was like, I get it, and I respect it.
Right.
But we definitely were on the same vibe, and I was kind of bummed because he wasn't emotionally available. But I mean, those are some of the things that just happen, and you just kind of go with it.
I have someone for you. We'll discuss this after.
Okay.
We're talking, I just thought of like someone for you.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. do you have
completely off topic?
Okay. So what about, I know we talked about marriage and involvement, family involvement and stuff like that. Do you have anything else you want to add about that marriage piece? And
I don't. I feel like marriage is the goal for me. It shouldn't be the goal for everyone. But I did read, I was reading up some statistics about marriage, especially in the Black community. And it seems as though, you know, Black women are the least likely demographic in the U.S. to get married. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it said that for women between the ages of, like, 20 and 36, it's not by choice. They're unmarried, not by choice, but by circumstance. So I thought that was interesting. So clearly a lot needs to change in the dating realm because most of us are unmarried just because it's circumstantial and just completely out of our control. So I found that to be interesting, and it just made me think about what we were talking about as far as like dating with intent. And I think culturally we're just not a culture that dates with intent.
Right.
And so that's sort of all I have to say about the whole marriage thing.
Yeah, I think that plays a role in it.
Yeah.
If we're not intentional from the beginning, everything about it will just probably feel pretty lax and
casual. You know,
just very casual, and there wouldn't be anyone getting married.
Exactly.
So now we're on to the next segment of my podcast, and this is called Say What's On Your Mind, and this is kind of where anyone can ask a question they need advice for, give their opinion about something, and it's just talked about, chatted about, and the person who sends it will remain anonymous. So I'm going to read it.
Okay, sounds good.
And then we can just give our opinions on it.
Perfect.
So something that I got was in regards to meditation. And it says, I'm trying to meditate, but oftentimes I feel like I can't center myself. Maybe I'm not meant to meditate, or am I just doing it wrong? What are your thoughts on that?
Okay, that's really interesting because I've been there.
I have too.
Right. I think everyone has. I think when you first start meditating, you start with the misconception that meditation is like this super silent, not thinking of anything in the world, like, you're going to sit in the corner and suddenly you're going to obtain inner peace. And I think once we stop trying and stop thinking about that and then stop being so hard on ourselves about not getting there, then things will start to flow and come naturally. I think the most important thing for me when I meditate is I get comfortable, and I've given up the idea that I need to be sitting cross-legged up straight backed in a corner, because that just those kind of things just never worked for me. So I think the easiest thing would be find a position that you're most comfortable with. For me, I like to lay on the floor on my back and just sort of like look up, and I'll put my hands flat or, you know, something of that nature. Sometimes I'll even just lay back on my couch and sort of like put my legs on the couch arms, whatever. Mm-hmm. And that works for me. And I think start off small, start off with a minute a day, you know, and just set an intent on something, and that's it. And then maybe do 2 minutes and 3 minutes. Cause I know after, for me, maybe like 5-6 minutes, my mind starts to wander. And then I'm finding myself spending more time trying to bring my mind back to my intent than I am actually, you know, doing anything. So once you start, you know, wandering off, then maybe you've had enough. And that's my advice.
Yeah, I was going to say with meditation, too, it definitely is something that it does require focus. There are many times where I have meditated. I mean, usually when I do, I am sitting up.
Yeah.
Just because if I lay down, I probably will fall asleep.
Right.
So I am sitting up and I am focusing like on my breathing. A lot of the times I'll either say affirmations before or after out loud to myself, or sometimes I won't be sitting, but I'll be doing something to relax me, whether it's like painting or writing, and I'll have affirmations playing in my headphones as the background.
Right.
So I meditate a few different ways, but it definitely has happened to me where I am trying to, like, center and focus, and all of a sudden my mind wanders, and I'm thinking about, like, a joke somebody said earlier.
Right.
Or I'm thinking about, like,
what you have to make for lunch, or, like,
Right. Or just, like, you know, oh, I can't wait to watch a TV show tonight, or some ratchet meme I've seen on Instagram. And I'm like, oh, this is not the time for that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so I definitely have experienced that. But to kind of help me recenter, I have, you know, I feel like everybody is meant to meditate. Everybody is
absolutely
meant to have a moment in their time where they bring themselves back down to a balance and have a time to, like, tap in, because life is busy, and so you have to gift yourself that time.
Absolutely.
Nobody's gonna give it to you. And a lot of people, if you let them, they'll just take all of your time. And so if you can't give yourself something that you need for your own peace of mind in any way, you wouldn't be able to help anybody anyhow.
Right.
So what would be the purpose?
Yeah, and I think when you start meditating, maybe pick a time that works best for you. When I first started meditating and making it a habit, I should say, not first, because I think I've been meditating for longer than I can remember. But when I started making it a habit and being intentional about, I'm going to, you know, give myself this peace every day, I decided to set my alarm for 10 minutes earlier than I would normally wake up.
Right.
And then I would wake up, and for me, I can't wake up and jump out of bed. So the first 3 minutes would be like, check the weather, you know, look around, blah, blah, blah. And then I would have a timer on my phone that would literally say meditate. And it would be like, no technology, no phone, no one else is awake at this point. And I would just like lay on my back and just breathe and prepare myself mentally for the day and say, even if I had a great day the day before, I'd be like, today is going to be the best day. Today is going to be a better day than yesterday. Today is going to, whatever. And just sort of go from there. So maybe pick a time, whether it's at the end of your evening when you've, you know, showered and all of that stuff, or maybe early in the morning, just something that works for you. But don't focus on how much meditating you should do. Because we also get lost in thinking, like, I should be able to stay here for a half an hour, you know.
Right.
Or it can be 4 minutes. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. No, definitely. I've had times where I would miss it, like, 3 days in a row, or maybe, like, a whole week, because it was just, like, once I'm done with everything, I'm just going to bed. I didn't want to do anything else. And then I'd feel like, oh, my God, I'd feel off. Because I didn't have time to really center myself and just think. You know, and just process whatever it was I wanted to process or deal with or whatever it was. So, yeah, well, that's great feedback about that. Thank you. So whoever asked me this question, I hope that you're listening and you got something from what we just said.
And meditate. Just do it. Just do it.
So that's all I really have for today. And that was just episode about dating, and we talked about a lot of different points and interesting points, and I hope, you know, people got some takeaways from this, and and I'm just chatting with Laurel, so thank you guys for listening, and until next time, you guys be well.
Thank you for having me on. Bye, guys.
Thank you, Laurel. Bye.